How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeart Radio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on. This is the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Sunday, July 19th. That means tonight is the WWE Battleground pay-per-view. In fact, that show is going on the air the moment this show goes off the air. As a matter of fact, we'll be able to cover the pre-show here live on the air, which starts at 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern. So we'll talk about that. I believe there is a Wade Barrett R-Truth match on the pre-show for about the 9 millionth time. And this time, the crown, the King of the Ring crown, is going to be on the line. Wade Barrett is actually putting that up. That's the pre-show match. We'll cover that here on the program. We're going to take your phone calls all day today. A lot of numbers available. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. West of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. Parts unknown anywhere in the world, 425-398-7353. If you are a first-time caller, you can give us a call at 425-398-7289. All of these numbers available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Full preview of WWE Battleground is coming up here in the next hour with Seth Rollins defending the WWE title against Brock Lesnar. And there's only two ways that this match can go. Literally, only two ways. Number one, Brock is going to destroy Seth Rollins and win the title. Or number two, with Seth Rollins having Kane and J&J Security all out of the picture, he's going to have backup. Somebody is going to run in and help him defeat Brock Lesnar. Which one is it going to be? We'll talk about it after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. It is Battleground Sunday here today, Mike. And we've got a preview for everybody. The show starts in 2 hours. Pre-show actually starts on the WWE Network in an hour, and so we'll be covering the pre-show live here on the air. And what's the youngster up to? Is he getting ready to watch this show today?
Yes, he's got a bunch of action figures out there right now as we speak, and he's just slamming them into each other at top speed, although he's a little more concerned with watching Cartoon Network right now, but I'm sure as time for the pre-show rolls around that he'll be getting more and more excited.
What is he most looking forward to here on this program today?
Brock.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's got good taste in his monsters.
Well, there's something very universal no matter what age you are in someone smashing everything in sight, including a Cadillac, and that'll get you jacked up. You know, superheroes are discovered when you're much younger. So it's a universal thing as you continue to grow too. We rarely have summer blockbusters that center around somebody reading something or something like that. It's always something massive. It's always a superhero. It's always a big thing. And Brock Lesnar in WWE wrestling is a big thing.
Is your son excited for the G1 Climax tournament? Is he going to be watching any of these matches, or could he not possibly care less about New Japan?
He does like New Japan. I'm sure that is because his father likes New Japan. But he is aware of what New Japan World is, and with the amazing ability to airplay to Apple TV, he's had a chance to experience New Japan Pro Wrestling before. So he doesn't understand the gravity and the importance of the event, but he does know that he's going to be seeing a whole bunch of Japanese matches, whether he probably wants to or not.
Well, let's start with this preview here of the Battleground show. It's in St. Louis, and the main event of the show is, in fact, Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar for the WWE title. And there's a lot of possibilities, but there's only two ways the match can go, if that makes sense. Number one, is Brock just destroys Seth Rollins and wins the title. I think that that is the least likely scenario. Second most likely scenario, the only other scenario, is that there is interference. Now, J&J Security has been killed, and Kane has been killed, so that leaves none of the usual, what would the word be, accomplices? None of the usual accomplices are around to help Seth Rollins here. So that would mean that he'd have to get backup. Now, one of the ideas that has been suggested, in fact, here on this program, is the reuniting of the Shield as heels. Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose turn heel, and they help Seth Rollins beat Brock Lesnar, and they're a reunited unit. You could do that. There's also going to be something happening at SummerSlam involving The Undertaker and Sting. Brock Lesnar broke The Undertaker's brother's leg. Brock Lesnar broke the streak. Now, granted, I thought that Brock Lesnar was the top babyface in the company. And Undertaker's an old legend who is not going to be booed. So, if Undertaker interferes to cost Brock Lesnar this match, I mean, I'm sure everybody's going to go crazy, but I'll be baffled storyline-wise as to what the hell's going on. But these seem to be the only possibilities here in this match, unless they throw some crazy monkey wrench in, like, you know, Kofi Kingston costs Brock the match because he's mad about Japan. What do you think's going to happen here?
I hear what you're saying when it comes to Reigns and Ambrose turning heel, but how do you do that? How do you do that where it makes any sense on this show? How do you have the Undertaker
just
run?
Turn.
Well, I guess, and that would be the WWE way, I guess.
I mean, they're doing nothing with Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns is busy having a terrible feud with Bray Wyatt. They just both got angry and just turned.
Well, it's possible Sting and Bray Wyatt is in the cards, if not for sooner than most certainly later, I would assume. It seems to be a, I don't want to say a natural feud, but it would be a feud that you can wrap a story around pretty easily. But that would also mean that Roman Reigns has got to lose tonight, because I don't see how he conquers a Bray Wyatt and then turns around and goes, you know that title run I was going after? Nah, screw it. I'm going to let my former buddy Seth Rollins, who beat me down with a chair, I'm just going to all of a sudden just turn around and turn on him. That's why a lot of these, you know, scenarios, while possible, they don't make any sense at all whatsoever. But with that said, I also don't think Brock Lesnar is walking out of here with the world title. Either. I'd like to see it. I guess the odds are in Brock Lesnar's favor, but I'm getting the feeling as it's gotten closer and closer that that's not going to happen, which means there's going to be some sort of nonsense, which is kind of ridiculous. Really is ridiculous as far as being a selling point to this thing. Because again, what is the inspiration for Dean Ambrose or Roman Reigns to turn heel other than,
hey, they may
they
not
just
be.
Go ahead and do it.
I'm just throwing it out there because I was thinking you could do the reunited Shield against The Undertaker and Kane and Brock Lesnar. I mean, that'd be a pretty big match, although that makes no sense either because Brock just broke Kane's leg.
No.
Now, here's what I think. No matter what happens, it's probably not going to make any sense, which is exactly what Dave said last night. And when
which
I look at all
make
possible
any sense.
Scenarios, it's correct.
Hey, there are still two accomplices that are on Seth Rollins' side that haven't gone anywhere yet. And that's Stephanie and that's Triple H. Now, from there, there's lots of things you can do. You can have Triple H save Seth Rollins and have him be very upset with Seth Rollins and want to face him. Or, I mean, there's ways to do things going forward out of this show. But something other than a clean finish is, again, any interference by anyone other than Triple H does not make any sense.
We shall see. The semi-main event on the show is John Cena and Kevin Owens for the U.S. title. And my prediction has been, and now I'm thinking even more strongly about it, my theory has been that because Kevin Owens has come out on Raw for like the last 4 weeks and he's interfered in everybody's championship match because his claim is that nobody is getting this title except me, I think that the guys that he interfered in their matches, that being Cesaro and Rusev, I think they're both going to get involved and they're going to cost Kevin Owens the match. One or both. It doesn't really matter. But the point is, this is going to lead to a multi-person match, either a three-way or a four-way at SummerSlam. And Kevin Owens is going to pin someone who is not John Cena and win the U.S. title. Because they have both won a match. And when Kevin Owens beat John Cena, as preposterous as this is to say, this is true. When Kevin Owens beat John Cena, John Cena's merchandise numbers and his house show numbers and everything else, I mean, it was affected by that loss. That's why they very quickly gave John Cena his win back. Now, John Cena probably should not beat Kevin Owens again unless they've given up on Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens isn't going to beat John Cena again because of what happened the first time. And so my guess is they're just going to do something that will lead to a match where Kevin Owens can win the title without beating John Cena. I don't see any other way they could go here.
Yeah, I kind of don't think so either. And I think they are going to be involved, and which would lead to, again, a four-way at either a four-way or I guess you could do a Cena-Rusev match at SummerSlam 2 with Dolph Ziggler interfering. I could see that if you don't want to take the belt off of Cena. Because Cesaro and Owens on its own in New York at SummerSlam will probably be a big deal. But again, now we're talking about two main events or the two biggest events on the show. And we're talking about possible interference going into it, which, again, is not does not say much about the state of WWE and its booking. And it also shows how incredibly short-sighted they are when Cena, they have to make the decision to pull the trigger on him and put the title back on him or make sure he gets his win back so soon.
I'll talk about interference after the break because I got a theory. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Got a lot of angle suggestions here on the Twitter machine. Andy says, listening to Dave say that what happened at SummerSlam may not make sense, I'm starting to think it is Undertaker and Kane versus Brock and Seth. Well, I suppose it's possible. Johnny here says, I think Undertaker goes heel because they still have 7 months to turn him face for Dallas. That's possible. I just don't think people are going to boo The Undertaker for crying out loud. They love Brock Lesnar. They love him. But every time Paul Heyman mentions that Brock broke the streak, they boo him. So I don't think it's possible that you're going to get the fans to boo The Undertaker. Paul says The Undertaker helps Brock because the Shield attacked Undertaker, and there's been no payback for Undertaker. So they're going back to a SmackDown angle from like 2 years ago, which I don't think WWE has the memory for that, but maybe they do. Michael says, how about the idea of Kevin Owens screwing Lesnar and joining the Authority? A couple weeks ago, we saw Triple H complimenting him. I don't know if they're going to have another main event star outside of Seth. You need another secondary. You need a Kane replacement. Be a guy like Sheamus, which was brought up on the show last night. Eric here says, what about Cena loses clean to Owens and then interferes to cost Brock the title and joins the Authority? That one ain't going to happen. I'll tell you that right now. That one is not going to happen. Red Eye Reprisal says, it makes perfect sense for Undertaker to interfere in Brock's match, and they do a face-versus-face match at SummerSlam since they have a grudge.
It also makes perfect sense.
He's mad that Brock broke the streak. He's ready to get his revenge now. He's been out long enough. I don't know. Here's the thing with interference that I was going to say before the break. Deal with interference is, yes, we would be having interference in the two top matches. But you don't have to do interference anywhere else on the show. And you can do the John Cena match in the middle of the show and do two other matches with clean finishes. And then you do another interference finish in the main event. And here's the thing with interference. Interference sucks when it's interference because they have no other idea for a finish. But if you've got interference that leads to a match that people are actually excited about, great. So we'll see what they do, but I would not be surprised if we saw interference in both of those matches.
I guess not. And we've seen that the, you know, how they look at these quote unquote special events has changed dramatically. You know, everybody that's going to buy the network has the network. So, you do have that, I guess, in your hand. But again, every scenario that people are bringing up, and I'm not, you know, putting anything on them, you know, negatively or anything like that. But you see how they're all just kind of like grasping at straws to throw something up there of, you know, well, what could possibly happen here? And maybe this is all nonsense. Maybe we are going to get a straight, clean finish in Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins. And this is all just, you know, a lot of hullabaloo over nothing. But it's just all of these are, if you just sit and have watched the product and have watched, or at least have watched Raw, none of this makes any stinking sense. And this is the biggest talking point going into a Brock.
Well, let's not rant too much. Our theories are not making sense. Maybe what they do will make sense.
I don't have a whole lot of faith at this. Yeah, well. You know, I mean, now, how can you, unfortunately? But again, they have not, or Paul Heyman has brought up The Undertaker and Brock breaking his streak over and over and over again. And obviously Kane was laid out, and WWE is not super inventive when it comes to foreshadowing. So you do have to assume that both of those things mean something, you know, that they've done this now so much. They haven't done it for no reason. It hasn't gone on for no reason. It's not like a lot of things where, well, we've got an idea and we're just going to drop it, you know, mid-flow. There's obviously some sort of plan here for The Undertaker and for Brock Lesnar, but for SummerSlam, I just find it to be ridiculous.
Well, listen, let me say this. If they're going to do Undertaker and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, then I don't think they should have had Undertaker work WrestleMania this year. I think if Undertaker would have lost to Brock Lesnar and the streak was broken, and we didn't see nor hear from Undertaker since that time, and they were doing Brock versus Seth, and Brock destroyed him for 100% of the match, Seth got nothing in. Seth got less offense than Kofi Kingston. And Brock finally, after suplexing him 5,000 times, hits that big F5, and suddenly the lights go out and the Undertaker's dong hits. Nobody would be complaining about interference in that match. And you set up the rematch at SummerSlam. And I guess depending on where you want to go, you could even do one more rematch at WrestleMania later on. But you could do that. To me, it's still going to mean a lot. Don't get me wrong. If they do a singles match, everyone's going to go crazy. But I think it would have been far more effective if he hadn't had that somewhat boring match with Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania.
I guess so, but then that would mean that they had to look that far ahead, and obviously they didn't do that. So,
well, it was hard because they had to re-sign Brock.
I guess so, but still, The Undertaker at WrestleMania, it should be The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I mean, I can't believe they even had it in the back of their mind that possibly he could be around for SummerSlam, because if you're only going to get one match out of Undertaker a year, which going into WrestleMania, you didn't know if there was going to be more than one, I'm sorry, you still have to do that at WrestleMania. Bray Wyatt be damned. And they did a great job with Bray Wyatt from November of 2014 on, with keeping him heavily protected. They did, you know, even though it backfired in a way with him knocking Daniel Bryan out, he's not the one who ended up getting the heat. You know, Roman Reigns got the heat for that at the Royal Rumble, but they did as good of a job with Bray Wyatt as you could possibly do building him up for The Undertaker. And much like with Bray Wyatt and Sting, it's not a wrestling clinic or anything like that, but you can it makes storyline sense to do something like that. And no, it was not the most exciting thing in the world or anything like that, but it certainly wasn't the worst match on the card. And I don't think, again, what is the point of wasting The Undertaker somewhere else, you know, during the year if you only think you can get one out of him? Now they're obviously getting more than one, or at least it seems like they're going to get more than one out of him, but I don't really blame them for that. But I do blame them for, in the lead up to this, not even Paul Heyman couldn't be walking backstage, and they have one of those wacky Paul Bearer-esque moments when he's just walking alone and he's waiting to go back to see Brock Lesnar or something like that. And then all of a sudden in the back, you know, the lights go out and Undertaker's dong hits. but yet only Paul hears it and the viewers at home see it. So, I mean, that would lead more towards, you know, the Undertaker still got something, you know, some sort of plan rather than popping up like a Muppet and causing...
I like the surprise.
What? So the Undertaker is going to run down...
He's just gonna do some magic, and Brock gets distracted, rolled up, the schoolboy, the most dangerous move in all of wrestling, and he gets pinned. Or lightning strikes and they throw the match out, you know.
Do you explain that away then when it comes to the side of Seth Rollins, that the Undertaker
This has nothing to do with Seth.
Oh, I know, but as you're setting up Brock Lesnar and the Undertaker in some sort of thing, you are. It's going to include Seth.
No, it's not. No, yes. Seth is going to be
indirectly, but it is.
Seth will be out of the picture. Brock shows up. Seth and the Authority. Brock and Paul show up tomorrow. They don't even mention Seth. They're so furious at the Undertaker for screwing everything up that's the whole story. I mean, they do this all the time. They just move
I know,
on
but
feud.
Look how silly that is.
Hey, it sets up a big match. That's what we're trying to do here for SummerSlam.
Goofy.
I want to see what's on Ryan's mind. Ryan, you're on the air. What's going on in Cumberland?
Actually, what I've heard, the exact opposite of what I've heard you say for the whole show, I heard that's the Undertaker versus Seth for the title at SummerSlam. The Shield's the thing cost the Undertaker.
Wait, what? Who said this? What, you heard this?
You have sources?
This is the word around Cumberland? What do you mean you heard it's going to be Undertaker versus Seth?
Big doing in the Catoctins. Go ahead.
Well, you told me not to reveal my sources anymore, so I'm going to keep shush on it because you got mad when I revealed my Tessa Blanchard source, so I'm just going to keep quiet on it.
So your sources, Ryan, are telling you that it's going to be the Undertaker versus Seth Rollins at SummerSlam.
Right, and I can only assume that the Shield is to beat up the Undertaker after he wins the title and Sheamus is to cash in his money in the bank.
So let me get this straight. The Undertaker is going to face Seth Rollins at SummerSlam. The Shield is going to reunite. The Undertaker is going to beat Seth Rollins. The Shield will then beat up Undertaker, and Sheamus will cash in the briefcase on the Undertaker and win the title.
That's what I can only assume. I'm making up the part about the Shield and Sheamus, but I definitely heard Undertaker versus Seth Rollins for the title.
Well, you know, Ryan, you have been correct in some of your predictions lately, so I suppose I can say it's possible.
Okay.
All right.
I don't even know what to say here. I don't, and you know what? That will make as much sense as anything else that we've talked about on this show.
What else has your source told you, Ryan? What other scoops have you gotten?
Well, this really isn't a scoop, but I can see the John Cena Open Challenge coming to New Japan Wrestling to get him over as like a actually good wrestler that can have 4 or 5.
John Cena is going to bring the U.S. title Open Challenge to Japan.
Holy Moses.
All right, New Japan. Ryan, thank you very much for the call. We got to head to a break. We'll be back in a moment. I should have kept Ryan on, but what the hell. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Kind of sad we got rid of Ryan. I would have liked to hear more from his secret source. We'll find out if Undertaker ends up facing Seth Rollins at SummerSlam, I will want to know more from Ryan's secret source. But I actually don't think we're going to see that fight, Mike.
I don't ever foresee John Cena popping up in New Japan either to defend the United States Heavyweight Championship against, let's say, I don't know, a Katsuyori Shibata.
That'd be a great match.
I'd like to, you know, because he said Japan, and then you guffawed, and he said, well, quickly changed it to New Japan. What if it's all of Japan, and we get John Cena traipsing over to the green mat of Pro Wrestling Noah, takes a voyage to Pro Wrestling Noah, and decides that he is the only man left that can take out Minoru Suzuki and win the global honored crown?
I'd pay for that. I'll tell you that right now. And hey, the green mat, John Cena's usual goofy colors, it's great. it's a great combination.
I know this is a complete pull away to what we're talking about, but did you see the picture of Minoru Suzuki standing over a completely bloodied Yoshihiro Takayama as angry Noah fans throw things into the ring.
Now, send this to me.
Yes, it was a... basically, is coming down to there were a couple of matches, a number one contenders match, and then also a world title match for Noah that consisted of Minoru Suzuki, an invader from New Japan, who has gotten legitimate heat. He and his crew have gotten real, actual heat amongst the fans in Noah for spitting on tradition and winning all of their titles. And Minoru Suzuki wrestled Yoshihiro Takayama, his former running mate and partner, and left him in a big bloody heap. And apparently there were wrestlers going into the crowd. There were fans throwing things into the ring. It was not Bash at the Beach level, but it was apparently...
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, there was actual, apparent, legitimate heat.
All right, let's go to the first-time caller line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
How you doing? It's Matthew from Dublin, Ireland.
Matthew from Dublin. What's happening?
Man, not too bad. Just a quick comment about the Undertaker situation. Why would they attempt to put Undertaker back in the ring with Brock after what happened last year at WrestleMania?
Well, I don't really know where Undertaker got his concussion. I don't think it was like... The impression I got from the concussion was that it was just like he took a bump wrong or he bonked his... It didn't sound to me like Brock had hurt the guy. It sounded like something that it didn't matter who Undertaker had been wrestling. If he would have hit his head in this manner on any move, he would have gotten the concussion. So, I mean, I kind of think that there's probably something in Undertaker, because if you remember that match, it sucked. And everybody had decided that Undertaker was over the hill and that he was horrible, even though he'd had a string of like 7 great WrestleMania matches in a row, and all of a sudden he had a bad one. So I think that there may be that thing in Undertaker that's like, listen, you idiots, I got a concussion early. No, of course the match sucked. But if I can go in there with Brock Lesnar and I don't get a concussion, we can probably have a great match. And I'm sure there's that part of him that wants to prove that.
Yeah, but with Brock's style, you know, I think it won't work. Brock is very dangerous in the ring, as you've seen over the past few months.
He's a scary guy. I don't like the idea of Undertaker taking 9,000 suplexes, but hey.
Not even one, I don't think.
But you know what? I want to thank you very much for the call. The Undertaker is I don't know exactly what it is, but he's on some sort of new training regimen where I guess he's got a trainer and they're having him do different stuff, different exercises.
Undertaker doing CrossFit.
Kind of. It actually is sort of like CrossFit. And
well, hey, you know what? Let me not laugh at that.
He ain't that old. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. maybe he's in great shape. Maybe he feels better than ever. Who knows?
And you can look, and then we talk about Undertaker being a
broken down
old man.
Look at his brother. He's clearly got great genetics.
Well, that's it. The Undertaker is a broken down old man in pro wrestling terms only. But I mean, for a lot of people, I mean, he's not running any marathons. He's not, you know, doing any crazy flexibility tests or anything like that. But, you know, still, the guy's in pretty good shape for people his age and has been a athlete for a long, long time and has taken care of himself for a long, long time. So, yeah, I don't want to blow it off or anything like that. But to me, you only do, I would still... I don't know why you would want to get away from, if Roman Reigns is your guy that you are aiming at next year's WrestleMania, whether it works or not, you're at least of the mind right now that you are aiming it towards next year's WrestleMania, towards getting Roman Reigns over. I think Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar would be a good way to do things, but if you're going to do Brock Lesnar and Undertaker again in the same ring, and it's not WrestleMania, then you don't do it. And I know Barclays is a big deal. I know they're running 3 days there. SummerSlam weekend is a big deal. Outside of WrestleMania, it's probably their biggest weekend as far as doing media, as far as the focus on it, the whole shebang right there. But you don't need The Undertaker on it, and you don't need The Undertaker crossed up with Brock Lesnar. People would be happy to wait for this until Royal Rumble. You can start planting the seeds, I guess. But to put The Undertaker back in the ring for SummerSlam, to me, just does not make any sense.
So I've been alerted here that Undertaker is doing the DeFranco training that Triple H has been doing. And hey, look at Triple H. Guy's in great shape for his age as well. Mike?
He is. Does that have to do with DeFranco or never mind?
Yes, of course, Mike. Absolutely. To the east of the Rockies line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Sammy from New Jersey.
Yes, Sammy.
You know, with all the talk of Undertaker coming back, there needs to be said that there's no real proof that he's going to be there or Sting or anybody tonight. It's just speculation based on the fact that Dave saw advertising for him and Sting at SummerSlam. And if he were to come back, I could see them having him cost the match by DQ because he's not going to let anybody be the one to beat the one except for the one who he, you know, for himself, if that kind of makes sense. And real quick, the real reason I called is this kind of makes me think about the influence that you guys have on the world of wrestling. If you think back to the WrestleMania weekend when Rock beat Cena in Miami, Dave reported that Brock was in town 3 months after his retirement. The entire crowd was chanting, "We want Lesnar," that night on Raw the next night. This past week, even, Dave reported that the three girls might be called up from NXT, and before Stephanie said anything about a revolution, the crowd was doing Woo chants, even though it was Atlanta. And tonight, amongst my friends, both lapsed fans and casuals, I haven't had this much discussion about wanting to watch the show since WrestleMania because of the possibility that Undertaker might be there. And that's all because of what you guys, you know, reporting as news is actually influencing the world of wrestling in some way. And I think WWE should think about that sometimes.
And what should they do? Should they reward me?
Well, hopefully they don't try to work you. There was that night where he reported CM Punk was coming back to Chicago and that didn't happen.
I don't think he actually ever reported that CM Punk was coming back to Chicago. I think that took on a life of its own.
He said a source told him that, and the world took that. I think that influenced the crowd that night in a certain way. Once Damon did that promo, they're like, okay, so he's definitely coming for sure. You know, most of the crowd knew.
I think what happened was Dave said that somebody thought he was going to be there, but Dave didn't think he was going to be there, if I recall correctly.
He probably didn't say it as fact in his mind, but I think the world took it that way.
Well, that's the world's fault.
Yeah, but yes, of course that's the world's fault, but the world is the one who's paying the companies for their, you know, for their tickets and shows and stuff.
I will say, I want to thank you very much for the call, Sammy, that many times people hear what they want to hear, even if nobody said anything. I don't think anyone's actually said that Undertaker's there tonight. The only guy that did was the guy on Reddit. Now, it just reported that what the guy said, but Undertaker and Sting are, I would predict outright that they are both going to be at SummerSlam. Now, whether they're there tonight, I don't know. But if they're going to be doing something at SummerSlam, certainly it would make sense for Undertaker to be there tonight. But I don't know 100% that I haven't heard that he's in the building. Although I have heard that the women are in the building, and there's probably going to be a women's match on the show tonight. The kickoff, Mike, of this NXT women's invasion here.
I have more interest in that in some ways than I do seeing The Undertaker and or Sting tonight, which I, like you said, there's no guarantee that they're going to be there. A lot of the scenarios that are being laid out by you, by Dave, by me, by people listening, again, none of them make any sense when you put them on I don't even have to put them on the New Japan scale, just put them on the common sense scale. You're going to have to do a lot of weaving and figuring some things out for, I think, this to make sense, to have it all make sense. But I am interested in the women. They have not announced a match for them. I find if R-Truth and Wade Barrett or Bad News Barrett or King Barrett, whatever.
Actually,
Barrett
hold
is,
on one sec. According to PW Insider, there is a match, and it is Charlotte versus Brie versus Sasha.
Okay, hold on. Let me finish my thought here. And that's going to be the pre-show, which leaves a lot of time open on the main show to see a Rusev, to see something, and to also see a women's match. But since you just said that, I'm not too terribly interested. Although, I guess this would lead to Sasha and Charlotte. Will they be reluctant partners since they're not on the same trios team facing off against Nikki and Brie on Monday when Nikki causes the interference that lets Brie win the match?
I don't know, but I have been alerted to alert you. It's not an invasion.
Just to tell me it's not an invasion of invasion of what?
It's not. It was me. I guess I was being yelled at. I apologize, Mike. It is not an NXT invasion. It is NXT girls being called up to work. This is more like the Nation of Domination. How about that? Factions. It's faction wars.
Which one's Kama Mustafa?
Let's see. It would be Kama Mustafa in the NXT women's division. I don't really even know. Maybe they'll bring in Kama Mustafa.
Will Becky kind of be like D'Lo? She can probably shake her head back and forth the best out of all of them.
That's right. That's right. By the way, Becky Lynch, apparently they have not decided 100% if this is a full call-up. So she may be up here for the long
because
haul.
Because they have so many women on that roster that are so much better than Becky Lynch.
Well, that's
right?
Not the issue. I think the issue
her hair is too bright. That's going to interfere with Eva Marie being on the main roster.
Hey, Eva Marie's in NXT, so she should be on the main roster. Listen, the problem is, it's exactly what I said when everybody was calling, and I said, I don't think you should expect them to call all the girls up at the same time because you're gutting the NXT women's division. Like, why would you gut your best division to bring them all up to WWE where there's no guarantee they're going to get over to that level? So I didn't expect them all to come up. And
yeah, but you can. That's the thing is you could have brought all of those women up at the same time, even though I would not have advised to do that. But they could bring them all up at the same time. You still have more than enough women down there. You have such a loyal, rabid fan base. You have Bayley. You have, you know, when Natalya, since she's not being used on TV anyway, up in the main roster because of what's going on with Tyson, you could sprinkle her in. You can still have some of the women that are on the main roster go down to NXT. It's not like, you know, Emma is a horrible wrestler or anything like that. She just had a horrible gimmick. There's things that they can do. There's enough women with experience on that roster who are not named Alexa Bliss or who's the other girl, Dana Brooke, and some of the other newer girls. You have people that could do that. The problem is you're bringing these women up to the main roster and you're giving them crap to work with, which was, you know, one of the problems by bringing up Paige last year. You could bring up one and screw it up like they did with her. So bringing up three isn't the, you know, that's not the cause of any havoc or anything like that. It's how they're going to be portrayed.
Twitter question for everybody. If the match tonight is, as reported here, Charlotte, Brie Bella, and Sasha Banks, how long do you think the match is going to go? And do you think it's going to be good, bad, or great? Give me your answers on Twitter. We'll take some after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Elver is here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Let us take a look here at Twitter. Question was, if they do that three-way tonight, Charlotte, Sasha, and Brie Bella, anyway, you think it's going to be good, bad, or excellent? And how long do you think it will go? We've got Maddie here. Oh, he's just thanking me for taking the call. Dennis says, Brie is tossed out immediately. A good match ensues. Brie comes back to eat the pin. Perfection, he says. Huh. Danny says, 7 minutes and 52 seconds. Brie pins Charlotte 2 stars. John says, on the ladies' time frame, I have no idea, but put it on the pre-show. Putting it on the pre-show doesn't do a thing for the ladies. I don't know if it's going to be on the pre-show. I think Mike was speculating. Actually, I don't even think you speculated that, did you?
No, I just figured that because that R-Truth and Barrett are going to be on the pre-show in the Battle for the Crown, it does leave space open on the main show for several things to happen, not the least of which would be a women's match.
Andrew, the match will be under 5 minutes and bad. I've got no faith in WWE booking or Brie, and this person says 5 minute tops, Brie is either getting pinned or tapping out to one of the NXT divas in the finish. A lot of people very bullish on this. We'll be back for the second hour here after the top of the hour news, and we got a lot more to talk about, so stick around. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the list goes on and on. This is the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And we are here talking the WWE Battleground Show. The kickoff show is on the air right now. We've got Renee Young and Booker T. And those other two guys, already forgot their names. What are their names,
Mike? Corey Graves and Byron Saxon.
That's right. Corey Graves and Byron Saxon, for crying out loud. They're on the pre-show right now. And we'll find out if we're going to get I know we're going to get Wade Barrett and Truth with the crown on the line tonight. And we'll see if we get anything else. Let's take a quick phone call before the break. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Sean from New Jersey.
Yes, Sean.
I got a quick question about Wade Barrett. Why did they bother giving him the King of the Ring gimmick and even give him new merch? Like, they've been advertising a ton of new shirts and then have him job to everyone except for Zack Ryder.
You think I got any idea? I have no idea. But you know what? You know what? It's not just the King of the Ring. It was the U.S. champion and the Intercontinental champion and the tag team champions. I mean, the only guy who's been bulletproof is John Cena.
Wouldn't you think your guy like that from England would be a good marketable guy?
He's great!
Yes, he's fantastic.
He can talk, he's got everything, and I don't know if he's bad in the ring, because I feel like he's never in any good matches with anyone.
Well, that's what they'll say, is he's always hurt. Maybe that's the excuse that they give, but whatever it is, they've had chances with him. You know, they seem to be safe from every stupid thing they do with him. He might get hurt and come back, and then they continue to screw it up. I just will never understand it.
We'll talk more backlash after the break. Take your phone calls, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529, all the other numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Back in a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Taking your phone calls today, 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-7529. Number of other options available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, including west of the Rockies, 425-488-0525, east of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. Parts unknown anywhere in the world, anywhere in the universe. If you're on Pluto, 425-398-7353. And if you're a first-time caller, 425-398-7289. And speaking of east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi. This is Daryl from Yonkers, New York.
Yes, Daryl.
Yes, first off, happy anniversary to you.
For what?
Oh, this is the sixth anniversary of Victory Road 2009 and the worst worked match ever, Charmel versus Jenna Mascara.
Oh, wow.
This day in botch history.
Yeah, how about
that?
I was unaware of that, but thank you for reminding me of that terrible match.
You're welcome. I don't know. Anyway, so I think a lot of people have been... hoping that we don't get to see any finishers kicked out of tonight. And do you think that we'll be seeing a lot of those, or maybe the workers are going to finally listen to the big luminaries like Jim Ross and Steve Austin? Kicked out finishers kicked out.
Oh, finishers kicked out of.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I know that Jim Ross rants about it and everything like that, but it's not the talent. It's the agents. It's the people who are in charge of putting the matches together. I mean, if the match is designed around kicking out of finishes, I mean, it's not like Dolph Ziggler is going to say, hold on a second, I think we should cut out that finish right there. This all falls on the heads of the agents. And because it's the way that they do things in WWE, I would expect it to be exactly the same tonight as it is every other night.
Oh, well, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, there's a lot of... I think sometimes people think that the talent has more freedom than sometimes they do in terms of promos, even matches. I mean, if you're John Cena, you probably got a fair amount of freedom, but hey, that's John Cena's match lately. Kick out of a bunch of moves. Everybody cheers and chants, this is awesome, and away you go.
And I think that... You know, when it comes to the agents and even to the wrestlers or whoever's involved, I think it comes from an honorable place, a good place in that they want to have that kind of excitement. And I think there's some that look at, you know, the Indies or Japan, where it seems to, you know, those types of things will resonate more, but they have to actually... when it comes to WWE, they've got their fan base trained in a certain way. And unfortunately, instead of coming across as this spectacle athletic contest where guys will kick out of moves, you know, because in Japan, you might kick out of a guy's finisher and he might hit you with an elbow or a big boot or something as the final knockout blow, because you've been building up to it and the guy is so staggered and he's taken everything you had. It's a simple move that ends up being the thing that puts you out. And it works better over there because it's still a simulation of sport, whereas this is all sports entertainment. So I think there's a little bit of a disconnect where people go, well, you like the 10 million kickouts in Japan as opposed to the 10 million kickouts in WWE. It's just different. And it also, when it happens in Japan, a lot of the time too, unless it's, you know, a really good match or it's with really good workers, oftentimes it's too much there as well too.
Watching the preview right now for this Roman Reigns Bray Wyatt match. I don't care about this match.
It's a lot of hair in this match.
There's a lot of hair in this match. I hope that Roman Reigns spears Bray Wyatt, pins him, and we move on. This feud is doing neither man either favors. And I've said this before, but the reality is, I like Bray Wyatt. I don't have anything against Bray Wyatt, but Bray Wyatt has got the Undertaker Kane gimmick, which means there's something a little bit dark. I don't want to say necessarily supernatural, but that means he's always going to be involved in feuds that are lame. There's going to be some sort of magic. There's going to be some sort of voodoo. There's going to be something wacky in all of them. And he'll probably have really good matches when the actual match takes place. I mean, think of any great Undertaker matches there have been. Maybe less so for Kane. But think of all the great Undertaker matches. But think of all the horrible storylines that Undertaker and Kane have been involved in their lifetimes. And we're now getting the exact same thing with Bray Wyatt.
Will Bray tie anybody up to the ring post and electrocute their genitalia like Kane did?
I hope not.
I don't know.
Speaking of matches I could not possibly care less about, Randy Orton versus Sheamus. And granted,
have we seen this before?
Both these matches will probably be good. But yes, I believe that I've seen this match in some form or fashion a million times. Literally a million. Not even exaggerating. I don't need to see it again.
Let me tell you what's going to happen here. Because you are in St. Louis, the hometown, quote unquote, of Randall K. Orton.
Oh, man. Go ahead.
He loses because he's in his hometown. And well, let's be real here, too. It doesn't matter if Randy Orton wins or loses. He's still a guy that actually gets a legitimate reaction. So he is going to lose this match somehow, some way. But then RKO's Sheamus through the ringside table or something like that. He gets some of his man back at some point. And I don't think that the feud continues. I think they probably split them off after this, but I think that would be the scenario that would make the most sense.
You know, Chad Mendes and Conor McGregor took place in Las Vegas, and granted, it was a match that took place in the United States, but there were Irishmen everywhere, whether they came from Ireland or whether they were American Irish folk.
Or they were just drunk.
They were everywhere in this building. And Conor McGregor was the most over guy of all time on this particular evening. In fact, when he won, the place cheered so loud that I still have not fully regained hearing in my left ear. Now, if this were WWE, are you telling me that Chad Mendes would have upset Conor McGregor so that they could have put heat on Chad Mendes? This is a worked sport. They're in Randy Orton's hometown. He's going to be a huge favorite. And you know what? You're right. They probably are going to beat him to try to get heat on Sheamus. Even though, in my opinion, when someone is fighting in their hometown and everybody paid their money and they're all there cheering their hometown guy on and they're all happy as can be to see him, have him win. Because if you think that Sheamus is going to sell any more merchandise or people are going to care any more about Sheamus because he beat Randy Orton in his hometown, think again. It ain't going to happen. Randy Orton should win this match tonight.
Renee Young looks fantastic tonight.
When does she not?
That's a good point.
John in Arkansas, you're on the air. What's up?
I agree with Mike's sentiment, and
I'm stunned.
As far
what,
as
about what
you were saying about the Orton thing, my God, can we at least do this and get it over with? Because nobody wants to see this match
anymore.
Well,
that was my sentiment.
I mean, my God, I'm glad I got my bottle of Jack Daniels out here by the pool with me while I'm going to sit here and watch this pay-per-view, because I have a feeling I probably will need it towards the end of the show.
John, you got a pool?
Yes.
Above ground or built in?
Built in, and I've got my big screen lined out on the deck, and I'm going to sit out here and watch Battleground.
You got your TV outside, and you're watching it from the pool?
Yes.
Man, I got a new respect for John.
Living all right.
I didn't know they had. I didn't know they had pools and big screen TVs in Arkansas.
Yes, we have big screen TVs in Arkansas.
This is a bunch of people listening to a CB in the hot springs.
Well, I thought maybe cathode ray tube or something like that. You know.
No. We're in the northeastern section, not the south section of the state.
Oh, John's getting ready to cut a promo on the folks in the other part of Arkansas.
No, I'm going to stay out of that, although Lord knows I could. But as far as tonight's show goes, I don't know what we're going to do
with
Lesnar and Seth Rollins or why we need to have this possessed notion of putting the Shield back together or why we even needed to run with the whole thing of making Brock a babyface in the first place. I don't understand it.
Well, I don't know, John. Do you live on, like, 75 acres, like Kane's house that he's going to sell?
I forget how many acres there are here.
I just imagine you living completely in the middle of nowhere with your pool and your big screen TV on the deck and, like, nothing around for miles. Is that right?
Well, not really that bad. Not really that bad, but we're close enough to town where...
That bad? That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Close enough to town to where all I have to do is go a few miles, and then I find a grocery store, and then I find a pizza place and a couple other fast food chains.
Man, you got it made, John. We got to let you go. We're going to head to a break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Crude oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, old Jeb's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, Jeb, move away from there. Said, California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is. Swimming pools, movie star.
Only problem is John's got it made there in Arkansas, it sounds like to me. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are doing our WWE Battleground pay-per-view preview here. And I guess we're getting ready for the first match. R-Truth was just on the screen, and somebody sent me a tweet in regards to this show. Sean says, I heard Sting's crow sound effect in the Wyatt Reigns promo video. Possible sign there. Hey, they were talking Sting and Bray Wyatt for Mania, but they could do it at SummerSlam. The only problem with that... is, do we really need another match with interference on this show?
I would not think so. I would hope not, at least. Hey, did you know that the Beverly Hillbillies theme was done by Flattin' Scruggs, the legendary bluegrass duo, and that song was actually a number one country song in the United States?
Wow, I did not know that.
Yes.
I did not know that. What else do we have on this show here today? By the way, the phone lines are open if you want to give us a call. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. All of the other numbers are open as well. All of these available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And by the way, before I forget, I want to mention that we've had a lot of shows this past week. And if you've missed anything as a subscriber, I want to give you a look at what we did here this week on Monday. Figure Four Daily with Filthy Tom Lawler. Talking UFC 189, his trip to Hawaii, weight cutting, etc. And Observer Radio with Raw, the debut of the women from NXT, Alberto Del Rio's status, and a new back issue of the Observer from 1998. That's all in one day for subscribers. Tuesday, Figure Four Daily with Bruce Tharp, talking NWA Classics on Demand, and a Brian and Vinny and Craig show, talking Vegas, Raw, and Nitro from 19 years ago this week. Wednesday, Figure Four Daily with Lance Storm, Observer Radio with all the news, and the brand new Observer Newsletter with UFC 189. Details on the NXT girls and more. Thursday, Observer Radio with Bruce Mitchell talking the Waterloo Hall of Fame. Brian and Vinny show with Granny talking Vegas and the Wednesday Night Wars. Friday, a classic audio, UFC 100, if you haven't ever heard that audio. It's up there for subscribers. A brand new Figure Four newsletter with more on the Hulk Hogan Gawker lawsuit. Also Saturday, Observer Radio talking the news and impact. And today, we've got this show. And don't forget, if you're a subscriber, you get full downloads, commercial-free, of all of the episodes of Wrestling Observer Radio. And Carl Stern has done a show every day in July with one-hour bios of the biggest names in wrestling history, plus all of our other shows as well. Something like 18 to 20 shows every week only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you love this show and you are not a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, you're missing out on like 30 hours of audio a week. You can go through virtually your entire work week and have audio the entire time, all brand new, as a subscriber to this website. So
you left something out, man.
You're Adam and Mike, Big Audio Nightmare.
The annual G1 prediction show, the hour and 30 minute, 2 hours and 10 minutes, every single match, every single scenario, run down every single night for the upcoming G1 tournament, which will take place 20 men over 19 days, 15 different buildings. Not only that, but the Adam and Mike Big G1 Preview article that I did with a bunch of historical facts and data and odds for every single competitor in the tournament. Let's not leave that out, boss.
Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly, Josh Nason's Punch Out, all these
Carl
shows.
Stern. Carl
Stern. I mentioned Carl. Every
you
day
mention
this
it
month.
Again. 31 days of Carl Stern. Not that Carl Stern is not already awesome. It's not like you shouldn't be listening to his show already. But if you've never had a chance to hear him, you wonder what Carl Stern is all about. He is all about history. He is all about tradition. He is all about facts and getting those facts correct. And he is doing a rundown every single day of some of the biggest historical figures in professional wrestling history, from Colonel McLaughlin and Farmer Burns all the way down to Jerry Lawler, Ric Flair, guys like that. Every single day, a new biography, and it is absolutely awesome. And if you have not done so yet, you should go to DragonKing.com and get the Stern stick as well.
Byron Saxton's dancing on the show right now, and Corey Graves is just appalled.
You see how they put him closer to Booker? It kind of surprises me, unless they really do want Booker to punch Byron in the face one day. They used to have Corey kind of holding him off as a placeholder between both men. But I see they've moved them right next to each other, which means Booker's probably going to punch Byron on one of these shows one day.
This is terrible television. To the phones, west of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Brian, this is your buddy Matt from Everett.
Hey, Matt, what's going on? Are you on your way over?
I'm going to be getting my car just a moment here.
All right.
Bring food.
Please don't, actually. I've eaten way too much.
So I have a question about the rumor about UFC in Dallas. Davis said he doesn't think that Connor could even do half of the stadium there. But, you know, if you throw Ronda Rousey on there and maybe a couple other title fights, maybe Tom Lawler and CM Punk doing like a UWFI match. I don't see why that couldn't sell out. Like, it seems totally possible.
Well, it's just, here's the deal. It's uncharted territory. Like, it's one thing to sell, I forget what the attendance was for UFC in Toronto. It was like 62,000 or something like that. That's with George St. Pierre, a national hero in Canada. And they did like 62, 65,000. If anybody knows the exact number, just tweet me. But point is, we're talking Dallas, headlined by an Irishman and a Brazilian. And granted, all of Ireland will fly here for this fight, and much of Brazil. But it's just uncharted territory. I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll sell it out. But it's just, I mean, I don't know. I think it's impossible to say. And you know the other thing? The other thing is, when WWE runs Dallas, as I've said a million times, they're going to sell tickets at a much, much cheaper price. And UFC, if I recall correctly, when they ran Toronto, I thought they were going to discount their tickets because they wanted to fill more seats. They didn't. So You look at some of those ticket prices for UFC in Las Vegas, they're probably going to try and sell tickets for roughly the exact same amount of money for Dallas. And so, yeah, maybe they are going to only hit 50, 55,000.
Well, I hope they do it because it gets real old watching big UFC cards and little Las Vegas crowds. But anyways, I'll see you soon.
All right, sounds good. I'll see you soon for Battleground. Let's go to the Parts Unknown line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Once again, the Ed in San Antonio line.
Yes.
And I'm on my way to a fellow member's house to watch the pay-per-view.
Wow.
Because you're so cheap, that's why. You're so cheap, you won't even spend the money to get the network. You're going to go over there, you're going to leech off his TV, you're going to leech off his food, you're going to leech off his booze, you're going to leech off whatever else it is you got to get loose. That's the kind of person Ed in San Antonio
is. Actually, hold on a second. Ed, you have the network, right?
Yes, I have the network, okay. But my laptop is pretty much dead. So instead of watching it on my phone, I am going to go watch it at his house and eat his food and smoke his weed.
Ed, must we?
Is Spice a network?
I'm stunned you've got a friend, but go ahead.
I wanted to add one thing. You're running down the list of audio. Well, you forgot over-the-top radio at blogtalkradio.com where we talked about the Vegas trip with many members from your fine website, and it was an awesome show, and people should check it out.
You know, Ed, there's nothing like calling from a tsunami zone and trying to plug your audio show. But I do want to thank you very much for the call right there.
Which is not available for members of WrestlingObserver.com and F4WOnline.com because...
No, it's not, of course.
He's not a host.
I'm just amazed. Like, it sounded like he was calling from his car with the windows down, driving on a dirt road.
That's probably because he's got half a blunt he's blown out the window that's, you know, while he's calling. He can't even, like, roll the windows up and just put it down for a minute.
Well, King Barrett's coming to the ring, everybody. It is time for King Barrett versus R-Truth for, I think, only the seventh time, even though it seems like the 7,000th time. And the crown is on the line. Are you ready for this match, Mike?
I'm not ready for these new trunks of Wade Barrett.
What's wrong with them?
Nothing.
It's just black trunks with his...
Never mind. Talk about during the break.
I mean, I. It looks like a bird is biting him in the crotch. Is that what you're talking about here?
is he doing some stuffing there as well, too? I don't know. This man deserves better. He really, really does. And I will say this, too, since, you know, it's very easy to bash R-Truth and the gimmick that he has and things like that, but what is he, 44 years old?
Yeah, he's 44. He looks great.
He looks fantastic. He really does, and... I'm glad he's gotten a gig for as long as he has. It's just unfortunate that he's been tied up in so much nonsense.
Back in a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Every day, Monday through Friday. That means tomorrow, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network. Many of you listening on TuneIn Radio. Also available on iHeartRadio worldwide. Sports Byline USA, 5 million listeners a week. It's the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Is this match over? What happened?
We've got a commercial.
Oh, here we go.
Swerved.
Yeah, I stepped out during the commercial break. I came back. I thought the match was over. Wade Barrett is in the midst of applying a chin lock to Truth. With his crown on the line, if Truth wins, he will, I guess, be the new King of the Ring. Or does he just get the crown? I don't know what's going on. I mean, who cares? If you want to give us a call, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Also, all of the numbers available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Taking calls until the end of the show here. And in terms of the preview, is there anything else on this show that we got to talk about that we haven't yet? The primetime players are going to be facing the New Day for the tag team titles.
Because we have to talk about that.
Well, I mean, we got to preview all the matches. I just hope that the New Day wins.
They do rock, so they might as well win too. Yeah, you know, you shouldn't probably play hot potato with titles then again. They only took the titles off the New Day because the primetime players, Titus O'Neil won Father of the Year, if that bit of news is true. And I like Darren Young and Titus O'Neil. I want now Titus O'Neil to form a group. Remember how I wanted to see Jack Swagger leave WWE and possibly team up with Silas Young, where they'd just be men? Now I just want to see Titus O'Neil. I want to see Titus O'Neil, and they should make this a cartoon for the network for kids. It'll be Titus O'Neil, John Cena, Cesaro, and you could go ahead and take whatever other guy that you want out there who's really strong, maybe even Jack Swagger. And I just want to see them do competitions where they throw people, and not midgets either, full-size people. Just throw them around, and you can make a whole show around that. I'd rather see that than Swerved, where they place bets with each other on who can, like, you know, carry the huge keg from the old Iron Man or the World's Strongest Man competitions on ESPN. You know, they could have a bunch of stuff like that. Why not?
All I know, man, first off, this match, there's a lot of chin locks in it. Second off, John in Arkansas has sent a photo of the TV on the deck, taken, I guess, from his pool. I'm going to tweet this out to the world. Did you see this picture?
I have.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Not too bad. Colton apparently does not like this match. He says, could the build for this match be any more awful? I truly do not think it could be. It's impossible. And then Ben says, I think Barrett is a great example of why wrestlers hide their injuries. Quite sure what that means.
I don't know how to take this tweet from the filthy one, Tom Lawler, that says, Semper Vivi looks like Ed in San Antonio lost 200 pounds, got a tan, and stayed high.
I already see a picture of you.
I don't know, but Ed in San Antonio losing 200 pounds would put me at three bills, and I'm much, much smaller than that.
All right, let's go to the West of the Rockies line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello? West of the Rockies going once. Going twice. Right in time for almost the finish. I think he muted his own line when he called in. Well, that would only happen on this show.
Let me fill in his time by speaking of somebody else who's also west of the Rockies, although I do not know my Canadian geography as well as I probably should anymore. Lance Storm, on this day, 15 years ago, renamed the United States Championship the Canadian Heavyweight Championship. And not only that, for the very first time, as he mentioned on Twitter earlier on today, that was the debut of Lance asking all of us if he could be serious for a minute.
Really? How about that? How about that? Man, we should have Lance on the show to celebrate that day. Maybe I'll try and set that up, since literally nothing else is happening as we wait for the end of this excruciatingly long match. It's not like it's bad. I mean, it's okay. But it is, in fact, the worst build for a feud ever. They're fighting over a crown that nobody could possibly want to win. I do have a little bit of news, but we're going to wait until the finish of this match right here. I'm thinking that out of nowhere, Wade is going to hit his bull hammer and win. And I may have, in fact, called it right there because Truth just went for his finish. Wade Barrett growl. Oh, there it is! Bull hammer! Is this the finish? 1, 2, 3! Wade Barrett retains his crown! What could be worse for the guy?
That's a good point.
There you go.
New tights, same game here. So,
yeah. All right, here's my news.
Boy, that looked terrible.
I don't know if you've heard this yet. This is some MMA news that you might find interesting. So we were talking earlier about this proposed fight in Dallas, Cowboy Stadium, the former Cowboy Stadium,
mm-hmm.
with Jose Aldo Jr. and Conor McGregor. Well, Jose Aldo, at a press conference, is flat out saying he does not care if USADA is trying to ban IVs. He's going to do it anyway. That's what he's saying. He says, that's an issue not only for me, but for every athlete, especially those who cut a lot of weight. But there's a study that showed several techniques. Let's just say you're feeling sick, you go to the hospital, they will rehydrate with an IV anyway. They don't say, oh, come back later. But as an athlete, it's hard not to use an IV because that's the best way to rehydrate. They came here, this being USADA, saying oral rehydration is better. But I don't know how they came up with that. Any sick person goes to the hospital, the first thing they do is get an IV. I will continue to do IV. I don't care. I'll tell them I'm going to eat and do it instead. They won't take me out of the fight, so I don't care. They can say whatever they want, but it's scientifically proved the best way to rehydrate. Only if they put security guards with me 24 hours a day. I don't care. That's what's going to happen. I think he's confused. I think Jose Aldo thinks that they'll only know if he's using an IV if they're there to see it, and not that they can actually detect IV use in his blood and urine, whichever one it is. He says, I'm going to do it anyway, or somebody else will do it for me. I will go to a friend's house, to a different hotel room. I don't care about them. They won't take me out of the fight anyway. They can't take me from the fight. It's not doping. They will say they will test me. How are they going to get IV rehydration from my urine? Only if they get new techniques. They are ninjas. They are effing stupid. So he's flat out saying he's going to cheat and use an IV. So he's either an idiot, or he's lying, or he really doesn't want to fight Conor McGregor. Take your pick.
I have been pro Jose Aldo with all the stuff that has gone down with the rib and all that sort of stuff, and I have not been doing backflips over the way Dana White has talked about his champion. You know, forget about the personal aspect of it. I mean, you're still a guy you need to promote. And I am also on the side that says I believe that athletes, including in the UFC, under a doctor's care and under supervision, should be able to use an IV to rehydrate. Again, I think they should change the rules around when it comes to how much weight you are absolutely allowed to lose, and there's different things you can do that way. But I'm actually pro letting a doctor give a guy an IV for rehydration. With that said, Jose, shut up. Just shut up, because you obviously don't know what you're talking about. They can test to see whether you got an IV, and just shut up, because they will take you out of the fight. Now, if it happens the night before in Texas Stadium and they find out you use the IV, I think they will pull the fight. No, I don't. But that's probably the last time you're going to step foot in a UFC ring. That's probably the last time you're going to have to deal with USADA. So no matter who you go fight for next, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm sure you're going to be fined and or suspended and or both if you do something like that. He's not doing himself any favors at all. I don't know if somebody will talk to him. You know, maybe this was an off-the-record thing, or maybe somebody will say something.
There's a press conference. That's definitely not off the record.
Well, all of, you know, so you can't even say anything got lost in translation then, so he doesn't even have that to fall back on. I guess you possibly could, but, I mean, at the end of the day, on this one, I mean, to me, using an IV, there are better people to fight this argument than Jose Aldo, because that was just plain stupid to say.
Well, let me say something here. I don't know if I mentioned this on the show yet, but I know you and Nason were talking about it. And here's the deal, in my opinion. Get rid of these stupid IVs and get rid of all of the dangerous weight-cutting tactics that people use and lay down the law about weight-cutting. And as much as people say, but Brian, it's only going to get worse. They're going to go in more dehydrated and they're going to get knocked out and suffer all these injuries. Listen, if anybody can find me one sport, boxing, amateur wrestling, one sport where they laid down the law on weight-cutting and it got worse, let me know. Because everyone that I'm aware of where they laid down the law on weight cutting, guess what? It didn't get worse. Everybody just moved up a weight class, which is flat out what half the trainers are saying right now anyway. So get rid of the IVs and all the stupid things that they're doing now to cut weight. Everybody moves up a weight class, they'll all be fine. Mark
the IV,
my words.
The IV isn't stupid for rehydration, I don't believe. What is stupid?
No, it's not stupid for rehydration. It's the idea you cut that much that you need an IV.
But that's it. But I mean, look, you're going to cut a lot of your water and all that sort of stuff. I mean, you are going to, you know, to me, the IV is
one sport.
The IV is like Gatorade. That's not the issue. That's just a, you know, an ancillary issue. The issue is the weight cutting part. And the issue is the body fat test and all of that stuff that you can do. To me, if you want to rehydrate via IV instead of water or Gatorade, you should have a doctor to be able to let you do that. The issue is cutting the weight down so much where again, to me, the Ivy isn't that big of a deal at all. It is the amount of weight cutting, absolutely, for sure. But to me, you should have, again, under a doctor's care with the UFC there, you should be able to use an IV. I'm actually okay with that, but yes, the weight cutting is the issue.
All right, Jim, I want to get you on the air because I know you want to talk about the women. They're plugging them here on the show.
Really?
Yeah. Jim, what's up?
Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about the NXT girls. I was just wondering, I got a question. I recently saw where Leva Bates was blue pants down in the NXT. She won the WSU Spirit Championship. Now, if she's with got a developmental contract...
She doesn't have a developmental contract.
What now?
She doesn't have a developmental contract.
Well, she's down there, and then I thought she had a contract just like down Charlotte there. And the other girls. So
No. She's just being used on a per-show basis, although they are using her for some occasional house shows, but she's not under developmental.
Okay, another thing. Did you see SmackDown this week yet?
No, I have not.
Well, I say Sasha Banks cuts a real good heel promo in the back with Naomi and Tamina Snuka.
Interesting. Jim, I have not been watching SmackDown lately.
I haven't. It's I agree with you. It's not been really, really good.
It's boring.
In a long time.
It's a lame duck show. I want to thank you very much for the call. It's a lame duck show until they move to the USA Network. That's just a fact of the matter. There's no reason to watch it. The ratings are sucking right now because no one else is watching it. And hopefully in January it all turns around as we head to WrestleMania. Back in a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. And Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. If you do not want to hear the betting odds for the pay-per-view, you may as well turn off the show 2 minutes early. These don't necessarily mean anything, but the odds have swung a little bit. And as of this moment, Seth Rollins, a favorite over Brock Lesnar. John Cena, a favorite over Kevin Owens. Roman Reigns, a favorite over Bray Wyatt. New Day, favorites over the primetime players. Randy Orton, shockingly, a favorite over Sheamus. And King Barrett was a favorite over R-Truth, and he did, in fact, win. Those are the latest betting odds. Hey, don't forget, everybody, tonight we're going to be back with two brand new shows. Brian and Vinny's show talking this pay-per-view, as well as Wrestling Observer Radio with myself and Dave Meltzer talking this pay-per-view and all of the news in wrestling and MMA, both coming up tonight only for subscribers exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. This show replays on Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern, if you want to hear a replay. And then we'll be live tomorrow, Monday, at noon. Every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here in the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. And the show replays daily at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern as well. We got 20 hours of programming every single week on Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, etc., etc. And tomorrow we'll be talking about the fallout of this show, how it leads into SummerSlam. We'll be previewing Raw, taking your phone calls as well. And of course, for more, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of great stuff up there. And tonight, at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, I'll be listening on TuneIn Radio to the Dark Matter Radio Network as Art Bell returns in my normal Sunday time slot. Check it out tonight, and then I'll be back next week. Same time, Dark Matter Radio Network. We'll be back tomorrow with more here on Sports Byline, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Thanks, everybody at Byline, Mike, all the callers and listeners. We'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.